When you make decisions for your company, you always look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing and shipping to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your process to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, books, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart if you sell online. Schedule package pickups through the dashboard and automatically see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers with rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are, even on the go. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other business decision makers with Stamps.com. Sign up at Stamps.com with code PROGRAM for a special offer that includes a 4-week trial, plus free postage, and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Fluffy bread, fresh tortillas, classic burger buns, and so many carbs. Carb fear is real, but Hero Bread makes healthier versions of the carb-heavy favorites we love most. We're talking fewer calories, 0 to 2 grams net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and seriously, great taste. Made from a new recipe using heart-healthy olive oil and resistant wheat starch that acts as a prebiotic fiber to promote gut health, Hero Bread products have more of the dietary fiber and protein you want without the net carbs and sugar you don't. There's something for every craving. Sliced bread loaves, buns, and tortillas, plus monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites with no compromise. Like the 2-gram net carb Hero croissant or the 1-gram net carb Hero cheddar biscuit. Don't skip out on your favorites. Just use Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co with code HEROPOD at checkout. That's HEROPOD at HERO.CO.
They're Terrified and Tipsy is brought to you by Slash and Cast.
Just because you're angry and sad doesn't mean everybody else has to be too.
Right, just because you're dead, don't be mad and trick people.
Right.
Don't try to get them to die.
These people are killing themselves because of the Yuris are fucking with them. They're not actually suicidal.
Shit.
Stephanie.
How's it going?
I'm doing good.
Good.
Yeah.
We're recording today, which is always fun.
It is.
Which always makes my day happier.
I mean, why wouldn't it?
Yeah.
We love recording. do you know what I did today?
Tell me.
We talked a little bit about it, but I went to the Long Island Medium, Teresa Caputo.
That like was her live show.
Her live show, the live show experience or whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. Didn't know what to expect.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty cool.
Okay.
Lots of emotion.
So are you somebody who's typically skeptical or a believer of mediums, or are you just intrigued in general?
I'm intrigued in general.
Okay.
I'm open to the fact that people have these types of abilities.
Sure.
So anytime there's somebody that can talk to dead people or, you know, I'll listen.
Sure.
It kind of excites me. We're like, oh my God, I wish I had that skill.
I feel like it's not, it doesn't make sense for only like certain people to have a sixth sense. Like I really do firmly believe that everybody has a sixth sense, but some people are just far more in tune with it than others are.
Right.
So maybe people who are in tune with it are like actively practicing it or training themselves or whatever to be more in tune with stuff, because there's way too much weird, unexplainable shit in the world that it can't be like an energy or something.
Seriously.
Or signs. There's like so much stuff out there you can't explain that who's to say that something couldn't be giving you a signal of something,
exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
So I think that's pretty cool.
I feel like people who don't have like an open mind, I feel kind of bad for them.
Yeah.
Like you should be a little bit more open to
what
things.
What does it hurt?
Yeah, it doesn't.
Mm-mm.
It doesn't hurt.
No.
It's cool.
I agree.
I like it. I had a good time. I went with some friends.
That's cool. It's a different experience.
Yeah, yeah. So I did that.
That's fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty excited about it.
That's cool.
I wanted to share.
I think that's fun. And I think it fits pretty well with the vibe of like our episode today.
I think so too.
Coincidentally, not even planned, but like weird energies and stuff.
Uh-huh.
Like that kind of worked out cool.
I know, right?
What an unplanned transition.
It's like it was meant to be.
Oh, maybe something helped align it.
See? There's people. There's just people.
There's something out there.
So what'd we watch?
We watched The Forest from 2016.
Uh-huh.
What did you think of it?
I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
I think that it had a really cool premise.
Yeah.
It kind of gave you a little bit of insight into like Japanese
kind of culture.
Yeah. And kind of what they
Which
believe.
Which is super interesting.
Mm-hmm. I feel like having a forest that you know that people go to like commit suicide, I feel like that's a problem.
Sure, sure.
Like I feel like there should be a whole like police force that are just... in the forest.
To just like maybe prevent that.
Something.
Yeah, direct people to the right places to get help maybe.
Maybe, you know.
We can be constructive about this and maybe try to get ahead of a situation.
I mean, I feel like they kind of, and I know this is a big forest, mm-hmm. and I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like they're, like, put up a fence.
Sure.
Like, I know it's a lot of fence, but yeah. Is it worth saving like a life, like putting up a fence to save
right.
life?
Because it's people who go off the trails are the ones who are looking for something
correct.
Not so positive.
Now, I know that they have people in there that do suicide watches, which, okay.
That's a heavy job.
Isn't it?
We'll get there.
Okay.
That's heavy. That's real heavy.
Okay. So anyways, but yeah. How did you think about it?
I liked it too. It was different than anything we watched before, I feel like.
Yeah.
I liked the spirituality of it. I thought that was kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. I thought, like, the heaviness of, like, the Japanese culture was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were talking before we started recording about how, like, The Grudge had, like, a similar vibe with Japan and how they have this, like, heavy spiritualism on, you know, death and energy and
correct
when you leave your body, like stuff like that, and they have a lot of superstitions about it. Mm-hmm. So I just think it's interesting learning about something from a different culture anyway.
I like it.
I was telling Courtney before we started recording that I'm afraid that I may have started becoming a little desensitized.
Which I find very fascinating.
And it scares me a bit. I'm concerned because I'm like, who am I? There was probably like 4 or 5 jump scares in this, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And 5 might be generous, but around there of like
a handful.
Weird faced jump scares mm-hmm. that just kind of pop out on screen. None of them got me. None of them got me.
Are you ruining the premise of our podcast,
and
Stephanie?
I don't know. I mean, things will still make me angry and upset, and I will still yell at the TV every time.
Uh-huh.
But I was sitting on my couch and I was like, oh, that was it.
Oh.
And then I was like, that's concerning.
You're like, I'm not afraid anymore.
I was like, who are you? What have you done myself? It's, it was weird.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm starting to get concerned.
Well,
so, you know.
We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
We'll just need to get scarier movies is what it comes down
to.
But
I did think that there were parts of this movie that were eerie. And they did creep me out a little bit. There was a couple of times I got a little uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So the jump out things didn't get me, but it's always for me in these movies, the things that you don't see.
Uh-huh. You know, there's a lot of that in The Dark Woods.
Right. Even when we watched The Blair Witch, like you don't see shit, but the movie freaked me the fuck out. It's like anytime your mind has to fill in the blanks,
mm-hmm.
that's what gets me. And this movie had a bunch of like poor lighting and you're in the woods at night and you're hearing things and you're seeing shadows. That's the shit that creeps me out.
Yeah, I don't like that.
No. Because you're like, it looks like it's a shadow, but I don't know what it is.
I know. Ugh. And you know, you're just, when you're in the woods in the dark, you're going to hear every like snap
yep.
and every like leaf fall
uh-huh.
off a tree.
And your mind's playing tricks on you.
Of course it is.
Oh, it's so bad. So those are the parts that sound creepy.
Hey, do you want to go camping?
No.
Oh.
Fuck that.
Not in the deep dark woods?
No.
Okay. What about
now? We have to like, these people hiked for hours to get where they were. No.
It's a lot of walking.
Off a trail too.
Yeah.
The terrain. No. I'm going to twist an ankle. It's going to be a problem.
People are falling in holes.
Yes.
It's very dangerous.
It's not okay. People have to put ropes on the way back. No, thank you. No, thank you.
Ropes everywhere in that place.
It was a lot.
Oh my God.
Okay. Before we hop in, should we chat about a couple of things?
Sure.
Okay, obviously I'm going to talk about tipsypod.com because
yeah.
I always do.
But why wouldn't you?
Right, and I'm not going to stop now.
Well, no, we're too far in.
And there's too many good things on there to stop talking about it for. You can find ways to support our show if you want to get some Tipsy Pod swag.
Mm-hmm.
Dustin just created some new ones.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Got some skeleton ones on there.
Uh-huh.
And he's got some just Tipsy Pod ones, like Tipsy Pod, the Terrifying Tipsy Podcast. Mm-hmm. He's got some blood splatter on it.
So
it's kind of cool.
Kind of cool.
So can you just get like a mug or something? Because, I mean, that's
I drink
work appropriate,
all the time.
Right?
Yeah.
The blood splatter ones, that's work appropriate.
I mean,
if you work in a hospital, maybe.
Sure, why not? And you know what? If they don't like your mug and they fire you because of
crash it over their head.
Yeah. Take them out.
So this is my mug, bitch. Yeah. Don't tell me what to do, what to drink out of. You can also find all of our social media on there. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, YouTube. And we should also add Twitch to it, but I'm not going to add it to our channel because we've got a thing going.
No. Please don't change it.
I'm not going to change it.
Okay, great.
I'll just bring up Twitch after we do the chant of the other five.
Okay, I love that.
Dustin does live streams on Twitch of him editing our episodes. So it's always nice to watch.
It's so fun.
I've checked it out a couple times because I'm like, I wonder how ridiculous we sound as Dustin's editing.
No, we sound ridiculous.
We sound ridiculous.
Yeah, there's all kinds of shit that he cuts out and doesn't even put in. Like, at all.
And I get to see his reaction, too, which is fun. Yeah. So I've hopped on a couple times while he's live editing, and I've seen his reaction. And I was like, he thinks we're fun.
Maybe others do, too.
There's only hope. You can also check out our Patreon.
Patreon!
There are three different tiers. You pick the one that works best for you, but you get ad-free episodes. You get episodes the day before everybody else. You get an exclusive thing that we're working on.
Yes.
So, I mean, we do exclusive content anyway. Like, when we did the collaboration with John from Half Price Horror, the video for that interview we did with him goes on our Patreon also. So yes. You guys get to see that if you're part of our Patreon. But we are recording a Netflix series, which has been pretty creepy so far. We've recorded two episodes of it.
Yes.
Once we have all those eight episodes recorded, we're going to release it strictly to Patreon. The first episode will come out for everybody here.
Yeah.
But then all eight are going to be strictly on Patreon. They get a little exclusive from us.
It'll be fun.
It'll be very fun. Uh-huh. I'm excited about it.
I think everybody else will be excited about it too.
I hope so.
I don't know. We'll see.
I don't know. All right. Should we hop in?
I think we should.
Would you like to hear the IMDb synopsis for it?
Yes.
A woman goes into a Japanese suicide forest to find her twin sister and confronts supernatural terror.
Japanese suicide forest. Mm-hmm. Problem for me. But we'll get there.
I mean, off the bat, not a good start.
Not a good start.
No.
No, we shouldn't have that as a word or as a thing. Okay, so we start with a woman panting as she is sprinting through the dark forest in like a panic mode.
Yeah.
She calls for help. Then a woman wakes up from a nightmare.
Yeah.
And then we learn that her name is Sarah. She gets up, she packs her bags, and we are at a Japanese airport where she makes a phone call to another woman named Jess, but she can't seem to leave a message because her mailbox is full now.
Sure.
Now we see Sarah. She is taking a cab into, I think it's Tokyo. Mm-hmm. And we hear a phone call and flashes of when she received this call, the Japanese authorities tell her that her sister is missing.
Yeah.
So her husband tries to comfort her and tell her, you know, Jess has done this before. Mm-hmm. Everything is okay. When we're having this conversation or they're having this conversation, Sarah and her husband are actually about to have his boss and husband come over.
Right. For a dinner
date thing.
Yeah, they're all dressed up.
Trying to impress them.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then she goes on trying to focus on this whole thing, but she can't. Like, her sister's missing.
Mm-hmm.
She's scared.
Sure.
She doesn't know what's going on.
Because she gets this phone call from Tokyo authorities saying that, like, she went hiking into this forest that is known for suicides. And she's like, she wouldn't do that. And her husband, Rob, is like, yeah, but, like, would she, you know?
Yeah.
So she's trying to play it cool during the dinner of, like, she told him, like, no, I'll be fine. I'll be focused. Because her husband's very nice. He was like, we don't have to do this. You know, if you're going to be distracted during dinner. She's like, no. But she's definitely distracted.
She gets distracted.
During dinner.
Yeah.
So then she ends up leaving the table. I don't know if it was during dinner or dinner was over. But
I don't know. We don't know the timelines. Yeah.
She's sitting on her bed. And they tell her that basically after 48 hours, because we hear another part of this phone call.
Yeah.
After 48 hours, the authorities just automatically assume that this person's dead.
Correct.
Because the woods, people go in there to die. So after 48 hours, they just assume that the person's gone.
Okay, listen. Here's where I have a problem with this. If we know of a forest that people is known to go into to commit suicide.
Should we do something about it?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I think we maybe should.
Sure.
I just don't feel like this is not a good thing.
Yeah. The hard part is like they talk about how big this park or state, I mean country, I mean I don't know what it is, like national park or whatever it is.
Yes.
And they talk about how big it is. It's at the base of Mount Fuji and it's huge.
Yeah.
So it's like there's a certain section of it, I think, that's like the suicide forest part of it. It's not the entire thing. But I'm like, of just that section, could we just send like more park rangers?
Maybe. Or barricade it off.
Could we do something?
Something.
I don't know, do wellness checks? Maybe.
They kind of do suicide watch checks, but I feel.
But those are where it seems like it's a little too late.
Right.
So.
Okay.
I don't know.
I I don't know. So,
okay.
Now, Sarah tells her husband, Rob, his name is Rob, that she's going to go to Japan and says that the police think that she's dead. Like, she's gone into this woods. This is the last place that they saw her. And then Rob is a little irritated. He tells Sarah that Jess is always making bad decisions and Sarah's always the one that has to clean it up. And he's just like, this is just another thing that she's doing to you.
Yeah.
So he tells her to, you know, just sleep on it.
Yeah.
And if, you know, when she wakes up in the morning, if we don't hear from her, then go.
Sure.
Like,
see how you feel in the morning.
Exactly.
And then Sarah's also saying, too, because since they're identical twins, she's like, I can feel it.
Yeah.
So it's like that twin intuition thing that you hear about. Basically, the reason why she wants to go is because she feels, like, to her core that her sister's still alive.
Yeah.
She's not convinced that she's dead because she just feels it, and she said it feels different this time. So,
I don't know.
It's gonna be weird to, like, to have that, like, spiritual connection with somebody like that.
Yeah. And it feels like theirs is, like, really real.
Yes.
Like, they have. Strong. Yeah. Which is weird
to
me.
That's interesting. If any of our listeners are twins and you have that, please tell us. Because I am genuinely interested in that.
Me too. Give us a story.
Yes.
We'd love to hear it.
Please tell us.
Well, she didn't get a call. So now we're in Japan. Mm-hmm. She gets to her hotel room, which has a beautiful view.
Oh my God. The room is gorgeous.
As soon as she like opens the door, like the blinds go
it's
up
like
and you see the whole cityscape.
Ceiling windows.
Yeah.
It's like view of Tokyo.
Yeah.
It's a really nice hotel.
I mean, I want to stay there.
Right?
I don't know if I want to go to
Tokyo. I don't want to fly to Tokyo.
I don't want to go to Tokyo.
That sounds awful.
It sounds really busy. I feel like there's a lot of people there.
Yeah. That part doesn't bother me. It's like the 24-hour flight would bother me.
Mm, okay.
That's a long time to be on an airplane. I mean, I know you stop, but like, ugh.
I don't think I'm interested. I think I'm good.
That sounds like a long time.
So she gets settled and she goes down. She starts walking around town, ends up at a restaurant where they serve sushi that is literally moving.
Yeah, it's shrimp that they cut the head off of and it's still just on her plate.
It's moving. Its tail is moving. And I know that there's like whatever. And that's
different culture. Fine.
Not for me.
No.
So,
I love seafood and I love sushi, but I'd rather it be dead.
Well, and she asks the server, she's like, can I have a dead one? But the waiter doesn't understand.
Right.
But there are some girls that are kind of sitting a few chairs down from her that start laughing at her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like she's obviously not from here.
Right.
She likes to have her sushi dead.
So, what an American.
I know, right? So American. So back in her hotel room, she looks through her sister's social media page. She's like in bed, just, you know, trying to find any information she can get. She starts Googling the forest that the police told her that her sister went into. And all of these pictures that she sees when she pulls it up is of dead people.
People hanging from trees.
Just, it's morbid.
Doesn't look good.
No.
No.
So when she falls asleep, she has a dream of her going down into a basement. She finds like a yellow tent.
It's like glowing.
Yeah. It's like got lights inside of it. And there are two small silhouettes that are inside. So when she opens it up, we see a little girl. And I don't know if it was supposed to be her or her sister. I don't know.
I assume one of them. Yeah.
One of them. Mm-hmm. The girl's face is like staring back at her and she looks normal. And then all of a sudden her face starts to distort. And we hear this like loud screeching noise. Her jaw started like disconnects.
Yeah. Her eyes get big.
It's gross.
And then Sarah wakes up. It didn't get me. That's one of the first ones that didn't get me. Did it get you?
No.
It was.
None of these.
None of them did.
Did you just ask me that?
I don't know.
How dare you?
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
So the next morning, she wakes up to go to her sister's school where she was teaching at, because she went over there to teach English, and she finds her sister's classroom, opens the door to look in, and then all the students take, like, one look at her, start freaking out.
Mm-hmm.
Specifically, one of the girls that was in the classroom
yelling,
screams.
Yes.
This is where I found out that Sarah and Jess were twins and they had this twin thing.
Uh-huh.
We jump from there and we're in the principal's office now with the girl who really freaked out.
Mm-hmm.
And Sarah asks her why she was so scared when she saw her.
Why were you scared?
何が怖かったの?実家に行ったミス・ジェスが幽霊になって戻ってきたのかと思って私殺されるんじゃないかと。
She knows your sister went into Aokigahara. She thought you are a 幽霊, a ghost.
You know, she knew that Jess went into the forest and she thought that Sarah was her ghost.
Yeah, a Yuri.
A Yuri.
They called it. Mm-hmm, which basically means ghost because the principal is translating because the student is speaking in Japanese.
Yes.
And Sarah is speaking in English. So the principal is translating for all of us, basically, and said that she thought she was a Yuri, which is what they call a ghost. But it's not.
We find a little bit more about, what a Yuri is.
Yeah. Like the principal was like softening it a bit.
A little bit.
It's like a ghost.
We find out more.
Yeah.
So we learn that they took a field trip to this mountain
mm-hmm.
and this, you know, that this forest is a part of. Mm-hmm. And then back in the day when there wasn't enough food, families would bring old people, the deaf, the blind into this forest to just die.
Because they didn't have enough money to support their families.
Right.
They were like poor, living in poverty. So they couldn't feed the whole family. So they were just taking people from their family who they were like, sorry, grandma, and like bring them to this forest to die.
What the?
And basically, they thought, like, let's bring the school on a field trip here because there's all this weird bad energy in here.
Because she says when they die and they come back angry.
Spirits cannot rest there. They come back.
Okotte desu. Okotte.
Angry. They come back angry.
Yep.
Okay. They do.
Uh-huh.
They do come back angry.
Yeah.
So the school has apparently some efficiencies where people live on campus.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
thought that was strange because it's like an elementary school, but okay.
Oh, okay. So Sarah asked the principal to let her see Jess's room because she wants to see it before, you know, she leaves, you know, just to make sure, see what's in there, see if
any clues or something. Sure.
She finds a picture of her and her sister.
Mm-hmm.
She gets a flashback of, we know, when they were packing their grandmother's house after she had passed away. And they're kind of joking around and talking about Jess's, you know, new adventure to Tokyo mm-hmm. to kind of get out, start something fresh.
Sure.
Then she finds a prescription bottle for anxiety and then a forest map.
Yep.
So she doesn't really find anything, in my opinion.
Nothing new. Nothing groundbreaking.
No, but I think it's part of the story.
Just reminiscing.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. So what does Sarah do after she finds all of this stuff? She goes to the mountain.
She gets on a train and she starts heading to the forest.
Why?
I don't know. And she's by herself.
I know.
I'm like, girl. I mean, all about you being independent, but it's maybe buddy system?
Buddy system.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
So she gets on a train to go to this mountain. And when she arrives, she starts like walking down this desert road. Like it literally, this train drops her off. On like rock, like
yeah, it's not even like a train station.
There's nothing there.
Just the tracks,
literally.
So she gets off the train and she has to literally walk across the tracks to get to an actual paved road that she walks along to get to, like, I assume like a welcome center in front of this park.
Yeah,
that she goes inside this welcome center and she speaks to someone behind the counter who she shows a picture of her sister to, asking the woman if she has seen her sister. The woman says that she has.
Yeah.
And then tells her to follow her and tries to lure her to the basement. And I was like, okay.
Sarah's like,
She was sketched out by it, which I was very happy about. Because the lady opens the basement door and goes down these like wooden stairs.
Yeah.
And Sarah's at the top of the stairs, sketched out by it. And the lady's like, are you gonna, you coming?
Come on. Come down in the basement with me.
Nothing weird here. This is just coming to the basement. This is a foreign country, you don't know.
This is normal.
Come on, Blondie, let's go. So she ends up following her because she's like, okay. The lady tells her that the basement is where they keep the bodies.
Yeah.
So when they find bodies, when people are on these trails, when they go and look for these like suicide watches or whatever.
Yeah.
They take the bodies back to this welcome center, I guess, and store them in the basement.
Well, because it's colder.
But how does that entire building not smell bad? Because the second they get down there,
yeah.
She starts to smell it, but it's like a wooden, like a cabin, it looks like, this welcome center. And I was like, there's no way that basement is keeping that smell there.
Maybe it's super cold down there.
Maybe. But the lady tells her that there's always somebody down there. There was a guy sitting in a chair next to the door into the room that they were going into, and he had headphones on listening to music.
Right.
And she tells Sarah,
someone stay with them at all time if body's alone.
the spirit scream all night.
There's always somebody down there because if the bodies are left alone, they scream all night.
What? How do you... Okay, can I ask a question?
Who volunteers for that fucking job?
Yeah, this is part of my question. So how do you apply for that? Is that like on Indeed? Do they submit some kind
of... What is that job title?
I don't know.
A dead body babysitter? Like, what do you...
And in the description...
Anti-screaming?
The bodies scream a lot. You just need to be prepared.
You just need to be there, so shut the fuck up.
You know, no education required.
You go to the musical you want, hang on your phone, it's fine.
Well, you gotta...
They don't even have good cell service there because of the mountains, so what are you guys gonna do?
Oh, that's true. Interesting.
Mm-hmm. I just don't know how they find people for this job and how people agree to it. The pay's gotta be really good.
Does it, though?
Because it's like, if there's a body there, they won't scream at night, but if there's a body not there, like, how do people know they're screaming then?
I don't know.
Okay.
Okay.
Take your chances and go home, you know?
Moving on. So the lady walks her into this room with the dead bodies.
That apparently smells awful.
Uh-huh. They're lined up, all covered with like these white sheets.
Yeah.
And before the lady can like uncover one of them, who she was thinking that it was
her sister.
Jess.
Yeah.
We hear like this muffled person screaming like in the distance, like down the hallway or upstairs or something. So the woman's like, I got to go check this out.
Mm-hmm.
So just stay here.
Yeah.
No, 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 woman.
Just stay here.
No.
She's like, I'll be back, and leaves to go upstairs to help or this person who was coming to the Welcome Center, whoever it was.
Plus, it's rude. Don't be, like, yelling for somebody.
Rude. Very rude.
Unless they're trying to find somebody, too.
Maybe, but I don't know. It didn't seem like it.
No.
So Sarah's standing there, and she hears one of the bodies start inhaling.
Oh, and I saw it breathing.
I didn't love that.
No, it wasn't great.
And she slowly walks over to it.
Don't do that.
And I was like, get the fuck out of there.
Sarah, just no.
Get out of there, because even if it is your sister, you don't want to see that.
No!
So she goes, uncovers it, body's really messed up. It looks like burnt or skin missing.
Yeah.
Something doesn't look good. It's a quick flash of it.
Decomposing.
Yes. Definitely not inhaling. It was like her mind playing a little bit of a trick on her, and she runs the fuck up out of there, and she tells Leah that it wasn't her sister.
Right.
And the woman is so relieved. She's like, oh, that's great to hear.
Is it, though?
Like, okay. I mean, in a way, yes, but in a way, her sister's still missing, so.
Yeah, okay.
It's okay.
All right.
All right. So Sarah's trying to ask her if there is someone she can hire to basically be her tour guide through this woods. Like, can someone take me through these paths so I can find my sister?
Well, this is not the first time this woman has been asked this question, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Not at all. I can tell.
Oh, 100%.
She didn't say that, but.
Hard no.
Right. She's like, the forest is, like, dangerous.
Yeah.
You can't leave the path.
Don't leave the path.
No. Sarah tells her that she wants to hire a guide, but the lady says, we don't do that.
Right. That's not a thing.
We don't.
We just encourage you don't go off the path. So if you go into the forest, you're on your own.
Exactly.
Oh, God.
So when she storms out, she tries to get cell phone service. Mm-hmm. She can't.
Right.
A girl named Sakura? I don't know.
I didn't get it.
A girl on the porch, I think she works there.
Uh-huh.
She reminds her that, you know, she's on top of a mountain. There's no cell service. There's a lot of like ore in the mountain, whatever.
Yep.
It's going to mess with it. Sarah tells her that she will pay her if she'll take her into the forest.
Mm-hmm.
She works there, so she must know the forest, right?
Sure.
So this girl tells her that there are yuris in there, but they're not regular ghosts.
Yuri, different from ghosts. The first used them to trick you. Do you know why? Do not leave the path. Because if you get lost and you have sadness in your heart, they will use it against you. And yuri can find you and make you see things and make you want to die. And you do it yourself.
Yeah, their goal is basically to draw you off of the path.
Yeah.
So that they can use your sadness against you.
That's
heavy.
It's real heavy.
And it's also lots of trickery. These ghosts, these yuris, are very manipulative. Like, just because you're angry and sad doesn't mean everybody else has to be too.
Right, just because you're dead, don't be mad and trick people.
Right.
Don't try to get them to
these
die.
These people are killing themselves because of the yuris are fucking with them. Ugh. They're not actually suicidal. Shit.
Well, Sarah doesn't believe any of this shit.
100%.
She says that she's going to go back to the hotel. So she walks back down the deserted road that she was on before.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting dark now. She hears like some rustling in the woods, and then out pops 5 schoolgirls coming out of the woods. And they're like schoolgirl garb.
Right. And they just like walk around her as if she's not there. And if it's not unusual, they're in the woods together.
They're not on a path.
It was weird. And then they cross the street and go back into the other part of the woods. What?
I just...
It was weird.
It was
weird. And it was never addressed again.
No.
And I don't love that.
No. And I feel like there's an underlying meaning or the outfit comes back. Oh, it does.
So maybe it was something with that.
But I mean, they weren't.
No.
I don't know.
And it's not really addressed again.
It's not. So she gets to the restaurant that she ate at before, I believe. It looked kind of the same. It could have been a different one.
I think it's part of this, whatever hotel, hostel thing she's staying at. Yeah.
Well, she said her sister frequented that restaurant a lot, or that bar, or whatever it was.
Mm-hmm.
And then a guy walks in. His name is Aiden.
Mm-hmm.
He starts talking to her. He said that she looks familiar, and she said that they met 4 days ago when she got there. And I was like, is that a thing? Because why didn't we meet him before?
Right. Well, I thought she was assuming her sister was there.
Oh.
So maybe she thought because she said, I have an identical twin.
Yeah.
So I thought maybe she was trying to be, Jess.
Oh, she's trying
to be I was here 4 days ago, assuming her sister was there.
Trying to find out information.
Maybe.
I like that. That's very manipulative of you.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, no, actually, that wasn't me. I just used it as a pickup line. And I'm like, oh, I even a good one.
I know. Don't be a douchebag.
Not a good pickup line. But his name is Aiden. He actually works for a travel company. He's out of Australia. It's like a magazine or something, who cares, whatever.
Yeah.
But he's also fluent in Japanese. Like, he's talking to the bartender like fluent in Japanese.
Yeah.
Like, okay, that's a hidden talent.
Well, she said that her sister was missing.
Mm-hmm.
So he thinks that it was the forest.
Mm-hmm.
But she said she's not dead. We're identical twins. We've got twin telepathy.
Right.
So he asks, where she thinks that she is if she's not in the forest. She just says that she just, she's been struggling with some demons. She doesn't know where she's at.
Mm-hmm.
That's why she's there to find her.
Mm-hmm.
So the two start chatting more about random things. So they move from the bar area to a table.
Mm-hmm.
So get more comfortable.
They're in a booth just chilling now.
Just
having some beers.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Good for them. So she sounds like she is wanting to go into the forest alone, but he basically tells her it's a death wish.
Not a good idea.
So he said that, he has clearance to go into the park with the park nature guide tomorrow. He does his rounds every few days for a suicide watch.
Ugh.
So crazy. So he said that he will ask to see if she can go with him,
mm-hmm.
but he wants to write an article on her sister.
Mm-hmm.
So he wants her to do this as a favor if she is allowed to go with him on this hike.
Yeah, he wants to cover her story, basically, of her trying to find her sister who's lost in these suicide woods. And she agrees to do it. And he starts asking her all these questions about her childhood and her
uh-huh.
past, whatever. So this scene was very interesting how they did it, I thought.
Yeah.
Because he's asking about, she tells Aiden we were raised by our grandmother.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, well, what happened to your parents? You don't mind me asking. So she said, I think they were six or something like that.
They were
really young.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's telling us the story. I say us. She's telling us the story of her parents who died in this car accident by a drunk driver.
Uh-huh.
But the visual, what you actually see in the movie.
On the TV. Yes.
On the actual movie itself, you hear her talking over this scene. And she's like, yeah, they went out to a movie. They were on their way back. And we heard this crash. But what we see in the movie is we actually hear a gunshot.
We don't hear
a crash.
Correct.
So she and her sister are sitting on the couch with the grandmother. Grandma jumps up, runs into a basement.
Uh-huh.
Not outside where you would think a car crash would happen.
Uh-huh.
Runs into a basement, and the girls follow behind Grandma. So as she's saying, there was a drunk driver, he hit them, killed them both in this car accident, we see, and Jess sees, Sarah does not.
Correct.
That her father actually shot their mother and then killed himself. Jess saw them dead.
Correct.
Didn't see it happen, but she saw them dead.
Uh-huh.
Sarah didn't see it. All she saw was Grandma freaking out and telling them to run back up the stairs. But the whole time we're seeing this, we're hearing her tell the drunk driver story.
Yes.
And that's what Aiden's recording is, the drunk driver story. And it's like, oh God, she's already going to the woods with all these demons.
I know. A lot. She doesn't even realize it.
No.
This is just a story that's been put in her head.
Yes.
Because she didn't see it.
Right. And it's I think she knows what actually happened to her parents, but I think that she doesn't want to talk about it.
Yeah.
Because we find out later that she carries a lot of guilt about just seeing them, but her not seeing
uh-huh.
them. So I think just she tells this story as just a better version of what actually happened.
Well, maybe
happened.
That's what everybody just tells her to make her feel better because she doesn't remember.
It's possible.
Or
doesn't want to. Or it's weird.
It is weird.
Ugh, it's heavy.
It is heavy. So she gets to her hotel room,
mm-hmm.
but she can't get the light on. So she calls her husband. She kind of walks around the... Is that a hotel room?
I think... To me, it's kind of one of those hostel...
It was.
Kind of things, because it's every room had those sliding the Japanese doors.
You know what?
But it seems like they have a common bathroom.
I think you're right. because I'm thinking that she was still in Tokyo. She's not in
She's
Tokyo.
Not. She's at the forest.
She's
now.
At the forest. Mm-hmm. Sorry.
So she's in her room. She can't get to her husband. She can't leave. She goes to leave a voicemail. And then she leaves her bedroom of this hostel and starts like turning on lights. But of course, they don't fucking work.
They don't.
The hallway light's flickering. It's like green. I'm like, oh, fucking course. Oh my,
and not even just like a flicker. It's like a long flicker. It's yeah. creepy as shit.
It's like flickers and then it's off.
Yeah.
And then like the one down the hall flickers and it's off. And it's like, oh, of course.
That was a lot. I didn't like that. So as she walks down this hall, she sees a woman like hunched over in the dark and kind of in the distance at the end of this hallway. Then
she's like scratching the wall of this lady.
Yes. This is, I got scared of this.
This part did make me jump.
It did make me jump.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting this. So this woman like jumps at Sarah.
Yes. Sarah, unprompted.
Unprompted. She starts screaming. There's another woman that comes to pull this old lady off of Sarah.
The lady is clearly blind. She's got like these white foggy yes. eyes. She's like reaching for Sarah's face and Sarah's yelling.
Yeah. So it's, she's got some issues.
Yeah. This woman who like corrals her, she apologizes for her being elderly.
You don't have to apologize for being old.
Right. You could apologize for being a little crazy.
I mean.
But like, and also apologize for not watching her. Where'd you go?
Right. I feel like it's late at night. Right. I feel like maybe she should be in bed by now.
Right.
If it's dark.
Unless she escaped.
She's crazy.
Scratching her way back.
I know. She's like, which one is my room?
Which one of these paper doors is mine?
All right. So the next morning, Sarah's phone starts buzzing and it's a voicemail from Rob, her husband, mm-hmm. saying that he got her message last night and he doesn't, you know, think it's safe for her to go into this forest all by herself. And if he doesn't hear from her, he's going to hop on a plane and he's going to come get her, which is very sweet.
He's a nice husband.
He's a nice mm-hmm. husband. So Sarah is meeting up with Aiden and Michi. Mm-hmm. He's the suicide watch guide.
The guide, yes.
Yeah. To go into the forest. So Michi looks at Sarah, concerned, mm-hmm. and tells her, you know, that people going to the forest are likely going to be dead. Like, mm-hmm. he wants to kind of set the correct expectation for her.
Yeah. That she's probably not going to find her sister.
No. And she's going to run into a lot of dead bodies.
She's going to see some shit that she doesn't want to see.
Right.
And he also doesn't want her to go because he can tell that she's holding a lot of sadness.
Uh-huh.
So he says to her that, I don't think you should even go.
Yeah. It's going to be more dangerous for her mm-hmm. if she goes.
She's vulnerable already.
Right. And mm-hmm. because he's also, Michi's not going to be staying on a path.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been telling her from day one, if you venture off of these paths, it is more dangerous and they will attack you.
Yeah. 100%.
So.
And then she's going to be more susceptible to some shit out there than I think Michi or Aiden would be anyway.
I agree.
Yeah.
So the next scene, we see all three of them because, well, she doesn't take no for an answer.
Yeah. Fuck you guys. I'm in the forest.
Right. She's at the trailhead mm-hmm. of this forest and they head off down the path and then they end up veering off pretty quickly onto like a closed road.
It says no entry on it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's not really a road. It's just a closed off area.
Yeah.
So something changes with Sarah. Like it's like her senses are kind of heightened.
Yeah. It's like tingling or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Aiden shows Sarah like a compass going haywire because mm-hmm. of all the iron deposits that are in the mountain. And then Michi explains to Sarah that, you know, if she sees anything bad or strange while they're walking,
yeah.
It's not real.
Yeah, it's in your head.
It's all in your head. Nothing is real.
People sometimes see things in the forest. Important to remember. If you see anything bad, anything strange, it is not real. Okay? It's not there.
Uh-oh.
Okay. So as they are walking through the woods, they come up to this guy who's sitting in front of his tent. Like he's kind of in the distance, but they see him. So Michi says that, you know, I'm going to go check it out. You know, if there's a tent, that means that they're unsure.
Sure. They're not necessarily going to die.
Correct.
They're just on the fence about dying.
I mean, that makes sense. It makes sense.
Does it?
I mean, that just means that they want...
It's like maybe go to a different part of the forest than to camp. I don't know. Don't go to the suicide part.
Are they... Well, I mean, if he's on the fence of committing suicide, he's unsure.
Yeah.
He still wants the
comforts. With nothing.
Right.
Sure.
Okay. He may just go out for a camping trip.
Okay.
In the dead forest.
Yeah.
Okay.
With lots of Uris. Okay.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
So he goes over to talk to this guy. And then while Aiden and Sarah are together by themselves where they were last left, Aiden breaks out his recorder and asks Sarah, you know, what if they don't find her sister today?
Yeah.
What if they don't find her tomorrow? She doesn't answer him. Mm-hmm. Like, she's just like, you know, I'm going to keep looking. And then she's just like, I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
So he asks how she feels to be in the forest where her sister disappeared. And she says it feels necessary.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she has to be there. She has to find her sister.
Right.
He asks if she's ever tried to commit suicide before. And she says twice.
Mm-hmm. Both times with pills.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's got lots of issues.
And one time, Sarah said she just kind of knew about it. Like, yeah. Her sister was living someplace else, and she just got this feeling, and she called police, and they went to go, like, a wellness check on her.
Yeah.
And she had consumed a lot of pills.
I just... Ooh. Should she have gone to Tokyo by herself? I just feel like that was a bad move.
Yeah.
Just a bad move.
I don't know.
Okay, so Michi comes back. Everything's okay with the guy. He thinks he's going to be okay, but... He's going to probably check on him the next day.
To be fair, he's not a therapist either. He's
correct.
Just doing his job. He's doing his best. And Michi's doing more than some other people are even doing there. So it's fine.
I wonder how much she gets paid for that job.
Probably not enough.
Is it a suicide watcher? Is that the title of the job?
It sounds like he watches people kill themselves. It's not a good title.
No! it's a lot. Okay. So they keep walking. They find ribbon, like, taped around trees, like different colored ribbon.
Mm-hmm.
Michi said that it could be someone making sure that they can find their way out, or it could be somebody that wanted to make sure that their body was found if they died. So basically, it's just a marker of some sort.
Yeah. And there's a yellow ribbon that Michi says looks fresh.
Okay.
So they follow it. And they're following this ribbon. It's tied to trees. It's like this straight run. And then it ends. Like, it's cut off.
Yeah.
And then Sarah looks up and there's a man hanging from a tree. And it freaks her the fuck out.
He's been there for a while.
He don't look good.
No.
So she's hiding behind another tree because she's pretty shook from it. And then Michi says that he's going to cut him down from the tree because he needs to tell park rangers and, like, mark the location so that park rangers can come get his body.
Yeah.
So then we see Aiden and Michi trying to get this man down from the tree so that they can tell park rangers where he's at. It's a lot.
It's a lot.
That's Michi's job.
I know. Every day.
Ooh, it's heavy.
What if he gets some days off?
I hope so. So they keep walking and Sarah hears noises. So they're walking. They're still off these trails. So they're in the woods. And they kind of go across what looks like a trail, kind of, in a way.
Kinda.
A little bit. More than what they're on.
Which
and
is nothing.
The wind kind of blows in that direction because they're going, like, across this trail.
Yes.
And it makes Sarah stop in her tracks and she looks in the direction the wind is blowing and she gets this feeling to go that way. So she tells the guys that, I think we should go in this direction. We're not really going anywhere. We're just kind of walking. Can we go this way? So Michi reluctantly agrees. He didn't seem to be happy about it, but he's like, fine, whatever.
Well, because he probably had a route of what he was planning on doing.
He's got a routine. He's doing his job.
You know, Monday through Friday, he does these, and this.
Yes, you're lucky he took you with him. So they agree, and they start walking through the woods.
Yeah.
After a little bit of walking, Michi kind of stops in his tracks, and he's staring into the woods. And I didn't see anything at first. I was like, what the hell are they looking at? But then Sarah sees that there's this yellow tent in the woods like we saw in one of her dreams. And she says it's Jess's tent. And she goes running through the woods to go check out this tent that she's convinces her sisters, which it is. But I was like, good eye. I mean, that's crazy.
I mean, here's the thing. I mean, I've been camping quite often. Mm-hmm. Not often. Like, not recently. I've been camping a lot growing up.
You've got some camping in your day.
I have. They don't make yellow tents. So the fact that she saw a yellow tent and she thought it was going to be her sister's.
I didn't even see it. I was staring at the TV. I'm like, what do they see? I didn't even see it. Shows how well I would do in the fucking woods.
Are you colorblind?
I was like, what?
Your job is design. This is frightening.
Well, they showed Michi's view, and I was like, I don't see anything. And they showed it again, like, closer up, and I was like, oh, it's a yellow tent. Okay, got it. But I was like, at first, like, what the hell is it? But she runs over to it, starts going through some stuff. There's, like, some clothes hanging outside the tent. Mm-hmm. She's inside the tent. Like, it's confirmed that it's her sister's.
Her stuff is there.
Yes. It's her sister's, where she, at one point, was sleeping. She's not there.
No.
But her stuff is.
Right. Mm-hmm. So Sarah and Aiden start calling for Jess, but she's not around. She's nowhere to be found. Michi said that, you know, they have to go. It's getting dark.
Yeah.
They're going to come back for her in the morning. Surely she'll be there,
which
whatever.
Which was nice of him to agree. He's like,
I agree.
He's like, let's go. It's getting dark. So we have to get back on the trail before it's dark because it becomes pitch black in here. Correct. And you're going to hear all types of weird shit.
Yep.
So he's like, let's get back to the trail before the sun goes down. We will come back in the morning. Nope. I promise you. She's like, no, I'm staying here.
Sarah's like, no, I'm staying. So Michi starts to get loud and he says, she can't stay. Like, you cannot stay in these woods.
Yeah.
It is dangerous.
He's like, leave her a note. Tell her we will be back in the morning for her. Leave her a damn note. We have to go.
Yeah.
We have to get in these trails. And she's like, no, you don't have to stay, but I will. She's like, I traveled 6,000 miles to get here. I'm not leaving. And Michi's like, he's a nice guy. He reluctantly again is like, okay.
Here's the thing. I don't think that Michi is married. I feel like he was very intimidated by her. Mm. She was very persistent, which I really liked. Uh-huh. But I feel like he doesn't know how to deal with women on a normal basis.
Well, also, what's he going to do? Like, it's not really a fucking problem. Like, I can understand him feeling guilty for, like, bringing her out there and then him being like, oh, God, I'm leaving her for these freaking Yuris, you know? So that I get. But also, it's not his job to babysit her.
That's true.
So he's done what he could. Like, his job is to go out there, tell people what's happening, make sure people are okay. And that's his job. He goes back. Like, he's doing that with her.
That's
true. Telling her what's going on. And she's like, heels on the ground, I'm not leaving.
Yeah.
So he's kind of like, well, sorry, I am then, you know?
Right.
So as he starts to walk away, Aiden is like, takes his backpack off, puts it on the ground. He's staying too.
Aiden.
He's like, I'll keep you company. Ugh. And then Michi says something to him in Japanese.
Yeah.
And he acknowledges it. And then Michi's like, okay, I'll see you guys in the morning. And he leaves.
He tells him when he's going to come back.
Yeah, which is like noon or something like that.
Right.
And I mean, you can tell he felt bad leaving, but good for him for going.
Well, he was kind of defeated looking. Like, he was just like, God, I've done all I can do. I've got to leave. I'm not staying in these
100%.
Woods.
So he did his part and he left.
Yeah. So it gets dark.
Of course, real fast.
Aiden and Sarah start, you know, building a fire, sharing a power bar. Mm-hmm. And then they sit there talking. And Sarah says that, you know, Jess is just lost. Like, she's not dead. She can feel it. Mm-hmm. She's just lost. Aiden asks, you know, to explain to him their twin telepathy thing that they've got going on.
Yeah.
So he tells a story, you know, about his brother, you know, trying to, like, relate to her a little bit. Mm-hmm. So anyways, they start talking. So Sarah gets up and says that she's going to go try to get some sleep. Mm-hmm. So when she goes into the tent, she turns on her phone light and looks through all of her sister's things, finds a book that was inscribed to Jess for her 16th birthday. Mm-hmm.
From really, Sarah.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It was really sweet. So both Sarah and Aiden fall asleep, but Sarah is woken up by branches cracking outside.
Oh, God, I can't.
And then we see kind of a shadow walk by the tent.
Because she's calling to Aiden, wondering if it's him walking around.
Which he doesn't answer.
He doesn't answer.
No. I don't know why he doesn't wake up when she's calling. Because
this was in her head.
Oh, that's true.
This didn't happen.
You're right. Sorry. Yes. So she calls for Aiden. He doesn't answer. Then we see like this hand shadow. Touch her, like, on the back of her head. Like,
yeah, like
the
these long-ass fingers we see behind her head on the other side of, like, the tent. And I was like, oh, God. That's what I mean. Like, this part was so unsettling to watch.
Yeah.
And it, like, tapped her head through the tent.
Well,
because
you can't see anything.
Yes. And then it gets, like, pitch dark again, as if the fire went out.
Yeah.
And she's just in the tent, and she's, like, yelling to Aiden. I'm like, I can't. This part is terrible for me. It's just the unknown.
It is the unknown. She unzips the tent.
Never a good idea.
So when she does and opens it, she sees these three old women who are like standing right there.
In these white dresses.
Yes. And then one of them rushes at her screaming.
Yeah.
She wakes up from a dream. Okay. So these Yuris are very much fucking with her.
Yes. They are crafty bitches. Very unsettling. So she wakes up, gets out of the tent, and she sees that Aiden is still sleeping next to the fire. I don't know how that man slept through the entire night using a rock as a pillow.
I don't know.
Like, how?
I know.
Outside? It's got to get cold if you're in the mountains, too, in the forest. It's got to get cold at night.
I need an air mattress.
Oh, God. Like,
or a mat.
His neck is going to be stiff. So as she starts approaching Aiden, to her right in the woods, she hears twigs breaking.
Huh?
Never a good start.
No.
But instead of being like me and running back into your tent and like covering your ears like nothing happened, she turns the flashlight on her cell phone.
Hello?
And turns to the woods and is like, I'll go fucking investigate. I can't. So then she gets closer to it. She sees a woman in the woods, like a figure.
Yeah.
Who then takes off running. So then Sarah's like, well, I must chase her. What?
I'm like,
first of all,
I'm yelling into the screen. I'm like, it's not real. It's not. Turn around.
If you think that's your sister and you're there to save her, why would she be running away from you?
I don't know.
It doesn't make any sense. But now she's chasing some woman through the woods. It's early morning. It's still pretty dark out.
Yes, it is.
She's just using the flashlight on her phone and she's chasing this woman. Uh-huh. And I'm like, stop running. You're going to get lost in the woods.
I know.
Oh my God, I can't even take it. I can't. We're now lost in this dark woods. So apparently, this woman, though, is not her sister, as we would have assumed. It's not Jess.
Uh-huh.
It's a Japanese girl named Hoshiko. She tells Sarah not to trust Aiden.
Right.
No, trust him. Miss Jess know him.
Jess is just your teacher.
I find her here. She say, need your help.
Where is she?
No, trust him.
That she knows Jess, and she keeps referring to Jess as like Miss Jess, because Hoshiko is wearing one of those schoolgirl outfits that we saw those girls walk by in the woods before wearing another time. So Sarah's like, are you one of her students? So she just basically keeps telling her like, don't trust Aiden, don't trust Aiden. And then Aiden, we hear his voice calling for Sarah.
Then the girl bolts.
Hoshiko gets spooked, takes off. Sarah's like, I must continue to chase her. I can't. And she just runs after her, trips, falls, and, like, cuts her fucking hand open. Like, gashes it.
She does.
Ugh.
And then Aiden finally makes it over to her.
Quickly, because she was running for a while.
She was.
Okay.
Okay.
He was, like, right there.
Okay.
He found her fast.
He did.
Okay.
He's, like, he's got ninja skills. They make it back to the campsite.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's it. So.
Yeah, she tells him that she thought she saw Jess, but then she ended up seeing this, like, teenage girl.
Yeah.
And then she went to go say what she told her. And then Sarah just goes, oh, but she spoke in Japanese. As if, like, not to tell Aiden what the girl said.
Correct.
Okay.
Oh, she can speak English now? Okay.
Right.
The next morning, they start to head out of the woods.
Yeah.
And so there's a little bit of discrepancy because Aiden's like, well, he said he's going to come back.
Mm-hmm.
I don't actually.
No. So Aiden wants to leave. So it's, like, early. It's still really early in the morning. The sun is still coming up. Aiden starts packing up the stuff and says they need to leave. Sarah says that they need to wait for Michi because he said he'd be here at noon. Aiden doesn't want to wait 7 hours for him to come.
Right.
Because he said her hand obviously needs stitches and he said that they can start walking and they can get to hospital or some kind of service place that they can get her hand looked after. And then they can send a search party for that teenage girl that she said who ran away from her in the woods and then maybe they can also find Jess. That's his plan.
Oh my God, that was like a recap. I love that.
I just didn't like it though.
I know.
Because it's like, especially as a viewer, we're like, do we trust Aiden? Do we not trust him?
I don't know. Now we're confused.
Now we don't know.
Right.
And then Sarah's gotta be confused too. And it's like, I just think they need to wait. You need to wait the 7 hours. I get it's 5 a.m., but you have to wait because just wait for Michi to come.
Well, yeah, because we don't know if we should trust Aiden or not.
Right.
We don't.
But she does it. She leaves with him. And I was like, oh, God.
Well, now we go to a river. Like, we get to a river, and she's like, we didn't pass a river.
This is not the route we took to get here.
No, he's like, well, we're going to go downriver. Like, we're going to follow the river.
We'll find civilization.
Right. And as she's, like, looking at this river, she sees a dead body floating in this river. And he's like, oh, okay.
Like, well, at first I was like, is that her mind playing tricks on her again? But then Aiden saw it, and I was like, really?
Well, do we trust Aiden? Is he real?
I don't know.
So he pulls her back off a ledge, you know, from
literally,
literally. And, you know, she asks why they're going back in the direction that they just came from. He's like, we're not. And then she looks back at the river. It's flowing in a different fucking direction.
Yes.
What the hell is happening?
Her mind is fucking with her. Because now she's paranoid. She's gotten so paranoid because now she's like, I don't know how to trust him. She's convinced he's leading her to who knows where. The river is moving in different directions every time she looks at it. She's having a morning.
I mean, I'm having a morning because I don't know what's happening either. We're following along with her and she's crazy now. So we start hearing voices and Aiden calls out, you know, to see who it is, but realizes that his recorder was just playing in his pocket.
Uh-huh.
So Sarah realizes that it's her voice and he had recorded her the night before.
Like their conversation on the fire that she didn't agree to.
She didn't know about it.
Uh-huh.
So then she starts getting accusatory of him about knowing, you know, her sister. She demands to see his phone and then when he gives it to her, she finds a picture of her sister. Is that real or not? I don't know.
I assume it's not.
I don't think it is.
But she sees it and like with the yellow tent in the background.
Correct.
Like, so she starts freaking out, asking why he was lying to her. And he's like, I don't know your sister. I don't know what you're talking about. But then we're like, but does he? I don't know.
Who do we trust?
I don't know.
Well, she wants to know what he did to her.
Right.
He ends up tackling her to the ground to like get his phone back or whatever, just to get her to calm the fuck down.
Mm-hmm.
She ends up running off. He calls for her and tells her, you know, she's going to get lost, to come back. She doesn't listen. Mm-hmm. Her senses become very heightened. She starts like seeing things like up close bugs and like she hears the water.
It's like sensory overload.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's really weird.
And we see that Michi is now back at their tent.
Oh, yeah.
Opens a tent and is like, fuck, because they're gone.
They're gone.
Ugh.
I just
Michi's like, you had one job.
I know.
You had to just wait for me. I was coming back.
I told you not to move. And you moved.
They're gone.
So Sarah takes Twine now, and because she's by herself.
Yeah.
So
she stumbles across this like big log that has Twine and someone's like a book,
a journal.
Yeah.
And some like ribbon. I don't know.
So she uses it to do that thing that Michi was talking about. People leave that rope to show like, come get me or find my way back.
Correct.
Kind of thing. Yeah.
Well, we hear whispers to her to turn around. So, like, she's walking in one direction.
Ugh.
And so she's like, I'm not turning around.
It's all in my head. Yeah. It's not real.
Yeah. So we see all these dead people just kind of, like, hanging around trees. Like,
literally.
Literally. But it's, like, the same person. I don't know. It's all of these, like, these Yuris just kind of, like, hanging around her.
It's like this one was, like, missing his bottom jaw.
Yeah.
It's funky looking.
Then she hears a voice, like, right in her ear.
Ugh.
Freaks her the fuck out. She starts, like, taking off, like running. Then Sarah ends up falling in a fucking cavern hole that's about like 10 feet below the surface.
Yes, knocks her the fuck out.
Okay.
Poor girl.
And then I was thinking to myself, because I'm looking at this cave and I feel like there's only like maybe 6 inches of soil on top of this thing. How did the whole thing not cave in?
It should have been like an open hole. It should have been.
Right.
No. She just broke the hole through it.
Yeah.
Now she's knocked the fuck out on the floor.
Yeah.
And now we see that there's an entire search party that Michi has, like, organized, I guess. And Rob has come from the States. He's now in Tokyo, and he's trying to find...
To find Sarah.
And Michi's, like, walking through the woods with him now.
Well,
oh, God.
Sarah's hurt. She screams, and I don't know if it's because of pain or just frustration, maybe a little
scared,
of both.
Yeah,
I don't know. She looks around, and she finds, like, this cavern opening in the, like, a little bit, like, on the side.
It looked like there was some light in there, maybe. Like, she thought she can get out or something.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So she turns on her phone light.
It's still working.
This is what I have in my notes. I'm like, her battery on her phone must be, like, massive.
Considering there's no service, and that eats the shit out of your phone.
How?
I don't know.
How is it still alive?
No idea. It's impressive.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So she ends up tripping.
And she hears these howling noises.
She hears a bunch of noises.
Ugh.
She just keeps hearing noises in general.
I said, Sarah's a mess. She tripped and fell again.
She's just having a bad day. So she trips. And then when she tries to stand up, we hear a woman in the distance say, Sarah.
They were like singing her name kind
of.
Oh,
yeah. Oh, yeah. It wasn't a singing name. Yes.
I didn't like it.
Then, out of freaking nowhere, Hoshiko pops out with a shit-eating grin all over her face.
Gosh, she's so creepy.
And says for Sarah to follow her.
Yeah.
No, Sarah. Do not follow her.
Wait. And then Sarah's convinced that she knows where Jess is. So Sarah starts following her.
Why would she be here?
Right. And she's like, I don't know why she'd be in a cave. And then she keeps asking her, like, why would Jess be down here? And then Hoshiko looks at her and makes this creepy fucking smile.
Oh, God, that smile.
Takes off running.
I
can't. She's creepy as shit.
I know.
So now Sarah's like hobbling, trying to catch up to this creepy Hoshiko. And then when she catches up to her, she is stopped. She's just standing in the middle of this cavern with her head down.
Facing her.
Motionless.
Yeah.
And I'm like, fucking hell. Turn around and run back. So Sarah starts approaching her with her phone flashlight. And
that's
she's
still
like,
working, by the way.
What provider does she have? Fuck. So she's like, walking up to her, and then Hoshiko pops her head up. She's got that creepy ass dead face again, like the sister had in the tent that was on that dream.
Evil, veiny.
It's gross looking, misproportioned, whatever. Of course, she freaks out. She starts running, hobbling away to get back to where she was, yelling for help. She gets to the opening that she fell through, and she's just yelling. She's yelling for help.
And then who just decides to pop up?
So conveniently, Aiden is right the fuck there.
See, at this point in the movie is where I'm like, we don't fucking trust him.
Right.
How did he know that she was there?
Do you still feel that way? Because I don't know if I do. At this point, I agree.
Okay.
After the movie's over, I was like, I don't think he was bad.
He wasn't bad. I think it was literally all in her head.
Yeah.
And so he was there with her. So she would have killed him and then she would have killed herself.
Yeah.
It would have happened to her.
Yes.
Exactly. Okay. So he leans in the hole and he says that, or leans over the hole and says that he's, you know, going to go get something to throw down to her and then leaves. And she's like, don't leave me. Don't leave me.
Uh-huh. Now she doesn't want him to leave her.
Right. So she starts to, she needs him now. Mm-hmm. So she starts to panic, repeats over and over again. If you see something bad, it's not real. Yep. It's in your head. If you see something bad, it's not real. It's in your head. She kept repeating over and over again. I'm thinking, is she talking about Aiden? Like, is she thinking that he's... Is it a Hoshiko? Maybe it's everything.
I think it's everything. And at this point, she has her eyes closed. So I'm thinking she's going to open her eyes and it's going to be right in her face, right?
Right.
Didn't happen.
No.
Which was worse in my head than what actually happened. But whatever. She kind of opens her eyes because she, again, sensory overload, hears like a fly buzzing.
Yeah.
That lands on what I thought was a Swiss Army knife, but it wasn't.
No.
Because from the top, it looked like one, right?
It's a ViewMaster 3D viewer.
Good job, Courtney.
Thank you.
Those little like click things that you go through each picture, you put over your eyeballs.
I had several of those as a kid.
Oh, yeah, you change out the images in them?
Oh, yes. Yeah, a little disc thing.
Yeah. And in all of her flashbacks to, like, when her and her sister were a kid, with the parents or anything like that, she's constantly using one as a child. So
Correct.
It makes sense that there's one, not doesn't make sense, but there's one buried in the dirt next to her.
Well, it's conveniently located, but whatever.
Sure, because it's her mind playing tricks on her again. Okay, fine. Yeah. So she picks it up and she puts it to her face and she's flipping through the pictures, which are of her childhood, mm-hmm. of, like, the view on the couch, the basement door,
grandmother.
Going down the stairs, seeing the terror on Jess's face running up the stairs, and then she clicks another one, there's another dead person face on there.
Yeah.
That didn't get me again. It was predictable.
Well, I mean...
Look at me.
I know. Look at
who am I?
I don't know who you are.
Look at me go.
Just weird. Anyway. Well, she throws this ViewMaster little toy thing, starts crying.
Uh-huh.
Aiden comes back with a rope to pull her up.
Which looked like a noose, and I didn't love that.
That's true.
Yeah.
I don't really know how he had enough strength, because there wasn't not rocks or anything around this hole.
He kind of took a tree. Like, who knows how fucking far away that was.
It just didn't make any sense to me. He didn't look like a very strong man.
No. And let's say she's 120 pounds, because she's small.
Right.
Let's say she's 120, okay? He is pulling her up with nothing. Like, he's not using anything to, like,
no
brace
leverage.
Himself.
No.
Nothing. He pulls her up and he gets her on, like, on the regular ground level.
Yeah.
And I'm like, how?
I didn't. That was, like, the most fake thing of this entire movie. So he asks if she is okay when she's up there.
Yeah.
And she's like, no, I'm not. And then without skipping a beat, he said that he found a ranger station that may have a radio and that isn't too far from them.
Yeah. She's suspicious.
I mean, she's super skeptical, mm-hmm. as am I.
Sure.
And
it's very convenient.
Exactly. Because she's like, well, you know, how did you find it so quickly?
Uh-huh.
Like, that doesn't make any sense in the middle of the woods. Whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So he takes out his knife. He hands it to her. He's like, okay, I'm going to give you this knife. Will you trust me anymore now that you have a weapon?
Yes.
Like, I'm not going to attack you. I don't want to kill you.
I'm trying to help you.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So she wants to wash off before they head out walking to this ranger station.
Right. She's had a morning.
She has. She just needs a second. When she goes into the river and she unwraps her hands, she sees maggots in the wounds that look like they're making their way, like, down their arm from her hand.
Because she looks at her wrist and she can see under her skin, like, them crawling under her skin and her wrist.
Yeah.
Gross.
Then she takes out a knife and it looks like she's about to, like, slit her wrist to get these maggots out of it.
Yeah.
When Aiden kind of snaps her out of it and calls her name.
Mm-hmm.
And then she looks back down at her arm. There's no maggots.
No maggots. All on her head.
So they were trying to fuck with her to make her slit her wrists.
Yep. 100%. Nice. Which comes back.
Foreshadowing.
Uh-huh.
So by dusk, they find the ranger station.
How far away was this station?
I don't know.
Because wasn't it... Or how long was she in that cavern for? Because it's noon when Michi is there. And at the same time, they're fighting about his cell phone.
That's true.
And then she takes off running and falls into this... How long was she unconscious for in that cavern then?
Uh-huh.
If it's already dark.
What?
I can't.
Timelines don't match.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
This ranger station looks very dilapidated.
It's abandoned, for sure.
It's been a while. Mm-hmm. So they both go in. Aiden tries to get the radio to turn on. Mm-hmm. It's not working, obviously.
Of course not.
So she starts looking around the place, and she sees wrappers from the energy bars, the same of the ones that Aiden had earlier that he shared with her. Mm-hmm. And I was like, huh, has he been in this place before?
But again, who knows if those were really there? We don't know.
I don't know.
Still inconclusive.
So they probably weren't. Mm-hmm. So he asks for his knife back so that he can try to, like, get the radio to work somehow.
Wants to, like, prop it open.
Yeah.
She's paranoid.
She's paranoid. She's a little skeptical about it. She's mm-hmm. like, you gave me the knife and now you want to take it back. You're going to kill me. So she walks around this ranger station. She tries to open a locked door and then hears, like, noises coming from underneath the floor, like under the basement.
Yeah.
Making noises. So she calls for her sister, which why would...
she assumes it's a basement. Everything is a basement because of, like, what
her
happened.
Childhood.
Yes. So because she even says to Aiden, too, like, why would they lock a basement door? And he even said, like, why do you think it's a basement? It could just be a closet, which is, like, for a cabin in the woods makes far more sense for it to be a fucking closet than a basement.
It's not a basement. Right.
Right. But in her head, because of the trauma that she had as a child, every locked door is a basement.
Correct.
So she goes to open it and she hears a woman's voice say, Sarah? And she's like, Jess? And they're talking through this door because she's convinced that Aiden has locked her sister in the basement of this ranger's station.
What?
So then...
And like, do I believe it? I don't know.
I'm like, this doesn't make any sense. Why would he take her there? Okay, this makes sense. So then we see under the door a piece of paper come out.
Yeah.
And there's a note on it and it asks if Aiden is there.
Yeah.
And then Sarah replies, because she has a pencil now, she responds with, yes, puts it back under the door, and then the note comes back out, and it says that he will kill us, and she needs to get the keys to get her out of the basement. What?
I don't think any of this is real.
This is all in her head.
It really is.
So she gets up from, like, passing the note under the door and starts looking around this abandoned kitchen for keys, which she doesn't know what the fuck she's looking for.
No.
And Aiden is calling to her to give her another, like, power bar to, like, here, this is my last one.
Yeah.
You can have it. I'm still trying to fix this radio. She finds a knife from the kitchen and walks over to Aiden as he's handing her this power bar.
Right.
So when she goes to reach for the power bar, she, like, puts the knife up against his neck.
Oh, my God.
And tells him that he needs to open the basement door and let Jess out. And he's like, the fuck are you talking about? And she's not in there.
He's like, I'm telling you, she's dead. She's not in the basement.
And starts pushing the knife, like, against his throat harder.
Right.
So he gives in. He's like, fine. Let me get my key. Just back off. It's in my boot. Let me get the key. So she backs off of him.
How does he have a key, by the way?
I think he's going along with it just to try to, like, get her off of him.
That's true. You're right.
Because the second she backs off, he charges at her and they're fighting over this knife. They fall to the ground and the knife goes right into his ribs.
Oh my God. Well,
he did.
He's not doing well.
No.
So the basement door kind of creaks open a little bit.
Like it did in her dream.
Correct. So she goes up to this door and when she opens it, it's her grandmother's basement.
Mm-hmm.
And her sister is standing at the bottom of the stairs. And
child version of her.
Child version. Yes, mm-hmm. I'm sorry. So when she goes down to look, she sees her parents are dead.
Mm-hmm.
And then Sarah covers Jess's eyes, mm-hmm. little Jess's eyes, and tells her not to look.
Yep.
So now we have role reversal here.
Yes.
Now she knows kind of what's going on.
Because she was even telling Aiden at the fire, like when they first got there, when they first decided to camp out, the guilt that she feels for Jess seeing what she saw that Sarah didn't see, like, overpowers her.
Right.
Because she feels like she can't help her with those emotions. She wishes that, like, she either saw it too so she can feel what she feels and help her.
Right.
So this is all the guilt that she feels about Jess seeing her parents dead and her not seeing them.
Okay. So we're
it's
there.
It's heavy again.
We're there.
Yeah.
she's coming to understand, but I don't think... I think it's the Yuris that are kind of facilitating
totally
all this.
Fucking with her. She tells young Jess to go up the stairs,
right.
Get out of here, and scurries her, like, just shoos her away.
And then her dead dad comes alive, starts like army crawling.
I didn't like the way he was crawling. Oh, it was jolty.
And it was like on his elbows.
I hated that.
He ends up grabbing Sarah's arm, won't let go. Mm-hmm. And then she takes the knife that she had, pries his fingers off her arm.
Yeah.
And then runs out of this ranger station screaming.
Yeah.
So we see Jess sitting in the woods next to a campfire. Mm-hmm. So we don't know if she's actually alive or not, but she's sitting next to a campfire. She hears Sarah screaming in the distance, or is in her head. I don't know.
We don't know.
So she ends up running out of the house. And then Sarah starts like panic running through the woods, and these evil spirits are all around her
everywhere,
trying to fuck with her head. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, we see the police, Rob and Michi, walking through the forest with their flashlights, calling for Sarah. And Michi like calls off the search after a while and says, you know, they need to go.
We'll come back in the morning.
Here's the thing. Michi didn't want to be out there before dark. Mm-hmm. Why are they all out there now?
It's dark. And they're not on the trail.
No. And maybe it's because it's in masses. And
maybe
everybody was checked to make sure they didn't have any trauma in their life and that they'd be okay.
Mental health check.
I don't know.
So at this point, we see too, like Jess is running through the woods because she's convinced she's being chased by something, which is actually Sarah.
Correct.
Because as Sarah's running through the woods screaming, she sees a woman who she thinks is her sister.
Uh-huh.
And she's chasing her, which at this moment, it actually is her sister.
Correct.
But Jess doesn't know it's Sarah. So there, it's like this weird, like, I don't know, it's fucking weird. So Jess is running, and as she's running through the woods, she can see the flashlights?
Yes, of the all the
that search party.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So she catches up to them, which they were leaving through that area where it's like, do not enter in the beginning of the trail. And she's running, and Rob turns around, and he thinks it's Sarah.
Uh-huh.
So he runs over to her and realizes it's Jess, but they still embrace each other because Jess is just happy to, like, find people. Because she's like, I've been lost for days. I didn't know where the fuck I was. I was just being chased, whatever. But Jess has no idea that Sarah was there looking for her.
No.
Because
he's like, I thought she was with you.
Yeah, because he asked Jess, have you seen Sarah? She's like, I thought she would be with you. Like, I don't know where she is. So now Jess is freaking out, wants to go back in the woods. Like, no, we'll go back in the morning, whatever. So everybody kind of gets shooed back to the parking lot. Everybody's getting in cars. Jess starts getting this feeling.
Yes.
And we're like, uh-oh. Because Sarah made a comment, too, about how she would feel more of that twin vibe than Jess would because Jess was always in situations that Sarah was never in.
Correct.
But now Jess is feeling these vibes from Sarah because now Sarah's in a situation.
Yes.
Ugh.
It's so creepy.
It's weird.
So Sarah is still in the woods having this face-off with this ghost girl that she ran into. Because she
jumps in front of her.
She jumps in front of her between, you know, where Jess and they were kind of chasing each other.
Yeah.
Right in the middle kind of stops her.
Mm-hmm. From getting to Jess, yes.
Exactly. So the schoolgirl doesn't really say anything to her. Looks down at Sarah's arm.
Uh-huh.
And it looks like Sarah, like, really sliced her wrist with, like, you know, using that knife. And we realized that it was in the same instance where she was trying to pry her dad's hands off of her.
She slit her wrist.
Obviously wasn't real.
A couple times really deep, trying to cut the hand off of her wrist that was holding her.
Oh, my God.
But then it's like, it flashes with her because she looks at her wrist because she's like, what the fuck? Like, she had no idea she did it.
Yeah.
And then it flashes to her, the actual reality. She's sitting on these stairs still in the ranger station. Cutting her wrist.
Yes.
Like, in her head, all of this was happening of, like, her dad grabbing her, her seeing Jess, running toward Jess, and all this stuff, but none of that happened.
None of it. None of it happened.
None of it happened.
I don't know. And then, so she's standing there remembering everything now.
I don't think she hallucinated.
Then, like, these dead arms come up from, like, the ground around her feet, pull her in. I'm like, is this real? Like, I don't know.
I don't know.
And then the search crew comes out of the woods and Jess realizes that Sarah came in for her, wants to go back in.
Mm-hmm.
Rob said that, you know, she knew that Jess wasn't dead. That's why she came to come find her. When she tries to hear or feel Sarah with her twin powers, she says, you know, everything is silent.
Ugh.
And she knew that she was dead.
Yeah, because everything got silent. That's crazy.
That is so crazy. Is that a real thing?
I don't know. It's weird. But all the cars start leaving now.
Yes.
And except for Michi. Michi's just standing there because Michi gets vibes. Let's be real. Michi's got a sixth sense he doesn't talk about.
Exactly.
So he's standing there in the parking lot. All these cars are leaving. And he just gets this feeling and he looks up into the trail. And he sees this figure, right?
Yeah.
And he starts to kind of like try to squint and like focus on a little bit better. And then we zoom in pretty quickly on it.
Yeah.
And it's Sarah, who is now a Yuri.
A demonic ghost.
And she's got a crazy face again like the other ones have. And she's standing in the trail. And we see Michi's face. And it's like, uh-oh. And that's how it ends.
She lunges at him and that's it.
Oh boy.
Okay.
Want to hear some fun facts?
Of course.
Okay, so IMDb only had like 3 or 4. There really wasn't a lot of fun facts. So I don't know. I was trying to Google on my own, but I couldn't find anything. There was a lot of significant, like, vibrant yellows in this movie. Because, mm-hmm. like, the rope that they followed was yellow. The tent was yellow. Every time the door opened, like, it would glow yellow. And I was like, I wonder if there's any significance to
yellow.
Them using all this yellow or anything in Japanese culture. I couldn't find shit.
Huh.
I tried Googling so many different things. I couldn't find anything on it.
Interesting.
Because I always think it's interesting if there's like a certain like significance of a use of color.
Well, because some directors have the red.
Right.
The red.
And I'm thinking like if it's heavy like weighing on Japanese culture anyway, maybe it means something in like a Japanese culture.
I mean, that would make sense.
I couldn't find shit.
Okay.
So if anybody knows, please tell me because I'm genuinely interested. I just couldn't find anything.
Okay.
Here's my fun facts. Natalie Dormer, the one who played Sarah,
mm-hmm.
and I guess Jess too, but whatever,
yes.
it doesn't matter, actually went to the suicide forest with her Japanese driver for research. She ventured 5 meters off the path to take photos, but her Japanese driver would not even step a half an inch off of the path. Like, it's that superstition.
Yeah.
Heavy culture.
Yeah. I think it's probably ingrained in their brains from a very early age that mm-hmm. you just do not go into
Don't do
place.
It.
Yeah.
The name of the Japanese guide, Michi, fittingly translates to path in Japanese.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
That's fun.
Okay.
Okay, in order to differentiate the twin sisters, Natalie Dormer had to dye her hair black while she was playing Jess and then blonde for Sarah. This was also to insert a yin-yang symbol. Sarah was always the more innocent and pure sister, hence the blonde hair, while Jess always played the more psychologically troubled and sad one, hence the dark hair.
That makes sense.
The yin and the yang.
I love that.
That's fun. That's all I got. That's all I had.
Okay, that's okay.
IMDb didn't have a lot going on for this one, but it's okay.
I have other issues with IMDb.
Mm.
They're trivia.
This was not one of them,
no,
I guess.
Not gonna die on that hill.
It's usually their synopsis that we find issues with.
Exactly.
Do you want to hear what watching next week?
Sure.
We are watching Things Heard and Seen.
Things Heard and Seen. Okay. Ghosty? Is it a ghosty movie?
I don't know. It sounds like it would be.
Okay.
Want to hear the IMDb synopsis for it?
Yeah.
An artist relocates to the Hudson Valley and begins to suspect that her marriage has a sinister darkness, one that rivals her new home's history. So I guess it is a little bit paranormal.
That sounds real vague, but okay.
Yeah. All right, we'll see.
Okay.
All right, a couple reminders, guys. Tipsypod.com, just live there.
Yes.
Everything you need to know is on there. We don't have a whole lot more episodes coming out, but once we do have more episodes kind of coming out, figuring out our lineup for after our break, we'll update the calendar. We'll get some stuff out there for you guys. You know, check out our Patreon, check out our social media, check out Twitch if you want to watch Dustin edit our videos. That's always fun. Subscribe to our YouTube channel, subscribe and follow our Twitch channel, and just follow us on all the social medias.
Please do.
That's it.
Okay.
And watch Things Heard and Seen, and we'll see you next week.
All right. Bye.
Bye. It's a Japanese girl named Hoshiko. So her name is Hoshiko. I want to say it right. Hoshiko.
Maybe it's Hoshiko. Hoshiko.
I think it's Hoshi.
I feel like the I is not as silent. Hoshiko.
I don't think that sounds Japanese.
Okay.
I think I found the perfect house for us.
You thought this through?
George really wants this. I owe it to him to at least try.
You know, when I saw this place, I knew immediately it was for us.
There's definitely updating that needs to be done here.
Yeah, certainly could use a paint job.
Yeah, but look at these bones.
I love it so much.
You're an exceptional husband.
Then you are an exceptional life.
I'm new in town and I would love to learn more about the older homes in the area. I don't know anybody up here.
Well, you do now.
My wife doesn't know what happened here. I think it would be better if we kept it that way.
Everything in the natural world has a counterpart in the spiritual realm.
We're all so inconsequential.
I'd say death is only the beginning.
My wife is the true believer of the family. You do not want to get us started on all that stuff.
George, the whole story.
I need to know what happened. Somebody
help us! Is something wrong, Kath?